When Ray Ortlund discipled young people, here's what he told them.
How is anyone going to live a godly life in today's world not having time alone with God? And there's not the slightest chance, guys, for you to be a man of God if you're not spending time each day just feasting on His Word.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Friday, January 4th. Yesterday, we heard part one of a conversation Nancy had with Ray and Ann Ortlund. Ray was Nancy's pastor when she was in college, and this couple had a big influence on her. Ray went home to be with the Lord within this past year, and his influence will be missed. Here's part two of that conversation.
Our guests this week on Revive Our Hearts are Ray and Ann Ortlund. And I've just been rereading a book that Ray and Ann wrote 25 years ago. It's still in print today. And let me read to you the last paragraph of that book. It says, "Your danger and mine is not that we become criminals, but rather that we become respectable, decent, commonplace, mediocre Christians. The 21st century temptations that really sap our spiritual power are the television, banana cream pie, the easy chair, and the credit card." The Ortlunds go on to say, "The Christian wins or loses in those seemingly innocent little moments of decision. Lord, make my life a miracle." The authors of that book, Lord, Make My Life a Miracle, are with us today. Ray and Ann, thank you so much for joining us again on Revive Our Hearts.
Great to be with you, Nancy. This is a lot of fun to us.
We're still praying, Lord, make my life a miracle.
Yes.
Each of us, and make our life. And Nancy, we know you long for the same thing.
It's
He's
true.
A God of miracles. Why not?
And I love what you wrote here. I wish I could have said these words this way, but it's so true that the greatest thing we have to dread is not that we would become reprobate or apostate. For most of us, that's not going to happen. It's that we just get too comfortable, that
yes.
we don't stay on the edge, on the cutting edge spiritually. And as you said, it's the banana cream pie. It's the easy chair.
Yeah.
It's the easy life rather than the life that is filled with Christ.
Yes, and we settle for far too little, don't we?
Absolutely.
When God offers us so much, I mean, He offers us the world. I mean, He offers us heaven, but He offers us glory here on earth.
And we don't really take Him seriously. It just
yeah.
seems too good to be true. And we don't take Him literally enough. He wants to make our lives a miracle.
Every one of us. You don't have to be a superstar to live in the glorious presence and the wonderful, wonderful miracle-working power of Christ in your life.
He wants to do more than to bring His sons to glory. He wants to bring glory to His sons. He has more in mind than just taking His saints to heaven. He wants to bring heaven to His saints.
And yet it's easy for some of us to sit back and think, well, this is Ray and Ann Ortlund saying this. You've been pastors and missionaries, and you've written a lot of well-known books, and you just are supposed to live this supernatural existence. But what about me? I've got these four teenagers, or my husband's just left me, or my boss at work is breathing down my neck and I can't meet these deadlines. My life is just so different than these people who write and speak about these things. But you're saying this can be true of any child of God.
Absolutely. Nancy, most of us are little kids sucking our thumbs.
That's all we are.
Insecure. That's all I am. But some of you have gone through tremendous heartaches, and you do have the great burden of a divorce in your life. You feel so rejected. Listen, my friend, God can make your life a miracle. Let Him do it. Live in His presence, as we are talking about. Practice the presence of God, but also come to know how to worship the Lord in honesty alone, and then with God's people, living in the joy of the Christian life. You know, Nancy, I remember when one of our children was in the early 20s, and things weren't going well between that person and us, precious person, but, you know, just finding her own way in life. And we were concerned. Not that she was not walking with the Lord, she was, but in this area of relationship mm-hmm. with us, she was kind of turning her back on us, and we were missing her. And she was just finding out who she was. It was okay. But we were hurting, and she was hurting. And Anne decided that she would not eat lunch every weekday until we got this resolved. Mm. And she fasted every lunch time for 3 months. And then one night, we were sitting up in bed reading. The front door opened, and in came our daughter. And she came up and sat on the bed and cried and said, "We miss you." Mm. "I miss you," rather. And we said, "We miss you." And there was, and we are best friends today. But Anne bit the bullet.
Mm-hmm.
And that really makes me respect her all the more, because it isn't that I wasn't willing, but she took that initiative. It was her commitment to God. And that solved a very heart-rending problem to us, because we were close to being really close to our kids.
Yeah. We haven't talked much about fasting, Nancy, not anything with Ray and me on this program. But and I haven't done a lot of it, but I know that sometimes when we get so desperate to be with God, you know, when my for God to do something in our lives, something special, when my tummy would growl, that would call me to prayer. And that was a very precious time in my life.
And you're really illustrating that every area of our lives, your marriage, your parenting, your work, has to flow out of your relationship with God, which is the point of this book, Lord, Make My Life a Miracle. You talk about how you called the church you were pastoring at the time to a threefold commitment, three priorities. First, you're saying, I will live my life with my first priority being my commitment, my relationship to God. Secondly, my relationship with God's people. And third, my commitment to God's work in this needy world. And you're saying that everything in my life has to flow out of, first, that relationship with God.
Everything, everything. That's the passion. That's the fire. Everything else compared to that is toothpaste.
Now, you talked about the personal quiet time, and that was an expression of that commitment to your relationship with God. But in this book, you also talk about the public worship and our need to be involved in corporate worship. Why is that so important?
Well, it's a personal service to God. It isn't a personal worship for us. I didn't get anything out of it sort of thing, you know, then you complain. But rather, it's to God. It's about him and for him. So that we began to say, look, folks, when we worship, and I said to myself, sitting in the pulpit area, okay, Ray Ortland, this is for God. You're not just the leader here, some wheel. You must meet God. And we began to say that to the people of the church. We must be people, first of all, ready to meet God. Remember the 24th Psalm says, who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? May go to worship in that holy place. He who has clean hands and pure heart, who doesn't lift up his soul to idols or vanity, but going after God with all your heart. We go hard after God. That was a, if you remember, that was a theme. Go hard after God. So we sang a hymn, immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light. You know, it's just a glorious hymn. But anyway, to sing to God, to praise God with all our hearts. And then when we pray, let's all really pray.
When we go into corporate worship, this is not for what we get out of it. That's so self-centered. It's for what the Lord gets out of it. It is for him. And so we make his heart happy with our songs and our listening and our giving. Oh, giving as well. I'm looking at Psalm 96, bring an offering and come into his courts. He knows that we need to let go of something to just take away our selfishness and our sense of greed, our tendency to greed. We need to give and give and give to him, give our time when it's not convenient, when we've got something that's just got to be done before the day's over, to bring a lamb in a sense and come into his presence. Those Old Testament Israelis needed that lamb, maybe for the wool or the meat or whatever. Well, we need our time. We've got this or that that must be done. The laundry hasn't been done, and my husband's got to have a shirt for tomorrow morning. Whatever it is, we bring that sacrifice, bring an offering, money too, come into his presence, and it's for him.
And we need to prepare our hearts for that corporate expression of worship. We're not just coming and plopping ourselves down as the service is starting, and we're chatting with each other.
Bless me, I dare you, you know.
Yeah, right.
And also, we get ready for that by coming to his presence. Being before God every day. How is anyone going to live a godly life in today's world? not having time alone with God. Mm. I don't know how it's going to happen. Mm. I'm disciple guys and Ann disciples girls, ladies. But I tell them, there's not the slightest chance, guys, for you to be a man of God if you're not spending time each day just feasting on his word, praising him then in prayer, you know, spending time pouring out your heart to God. We need that time first alone, then we need it with God's people in public worship. That's cleansing, and it's so strengthening.
You know, I remember you saying, yes. I don't know if it was Ray or Ann, I've quoted Ray on it, but it may have been Ann actually who said it years ago, but it stuck with me, where you said that the average church is like a bag of marbles clanging up against each other, hard, not really connecting to each other. And you said that what we really should be is like a bag of
grapes.
Ripe grapes.
Smushed together. And our lives, as we're blended together in love and in Christ, producing a juice, a sweetness that ministers to others. And that picture has stayed with me because, you know, as you point out in this book, so many people go to church today and stay unknown and lonely, sitting in their place in their pew, giving their offerings, maybe even serving in some way in the church, but not really connected to the people of God. And you say that's not the way it ought to be.
No. A lot of women feel that way, I think, especially single moms.
Yeah.
Or those who are widows who have lost their husbands. They come to church, and they want to be loved, and they want to be noticed, and they want to be in fellowship. The word fellowship, you know, the sharing of one another's lives together. Mm. And that's what we're called to, not to be high Christians. I don't think I mean that liturgically, mm-hmm. but deep in each other's lives, mm-hmm. known and loved and cared for and knowing and loving and cared for.
The part of the body of Christ that is sometimes missing today, Nancy, don't you think, is intimacy. We go to church, maybe we go to a small church that has 30 members, or we go to one that has 30,000 members. We even go to Sunday school, perhaps, to youth groups, to choir, to a lot of stuff, and we sit there in a group, and nobody knows us individually and personally. Nobody knows what sins we struggle with mm-hmm. to pray for us. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows that our kid just got all A's in school, or we wonder if our husband has cancer. And nobody knows us deeply.
Mm-hmm. And yet we pass each other, we shake each other's hands. How are you doing? And what's the standard answer?
Fine.
We're all fine.
And we're liars.
Yeah, marriage is breaking up, our kids are breaking our hearts, mm-hmm. and yet we're all fine. And that's not a family. That's not a body when we function that way.
So we need small groups in our lives as
well. The book of Colossians, just throw this in.
Yes.
Therefore, as God's chosen people, isn't it wonderful to be God's chosen people? Mm-hmm. And then it says, holy and dearly loved. Nancy, you're made holy through Jesus, and you're dearly loved. And each of the listeners right now are dearly loved, and God through Christ by justification by faith alone through Christ alone mm-hmm. has made us holy. And so we're chosen, holy, dearly loved. And then it says this, clothe yourself with compassion. Notice these relational words. Mm-hmm. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. That's really rich, isn't it?
That's the second priority. And I think that may be one of the deep needs of fellow Christians today who are fast-paced and going for the gold in a secular sense, and not giving each other time, not looking in each other's eyes and listening and praying for each other. Nancy, you were saying you were in Lake Avenue Church in Pasadena years ago when we were in a period of about 7 or 8 years of slow burn revival. I was the senior pastor's wife. There was hardly a Sunday when one of the young people, college age, they didn't even know me well enough to call me Ann. They'd say, Mrs. Ortland, what can I pray for you today? Mm. And we were ministering heart to heart. That's what happens in a revival. You forget what the outside is like, and you forget the warts and the scars and the moles, and you are ministering spirit to spirit to each other's needs.
I think so many people want to know that they are known. There's a fear in that. Maybe I won't be liked if I'm really known, mm-hmm. my problems, my struggles, and so on. But we all want that. And be known in Christ. Folks, this is who I am.
Yes.
Jesus has forgiven me. I am now his child. Sure, I've got all the garbage of the past. Sure, there's all that kind of thing. But I'm who I am. I want to love and care for you. I want you to do that the same to me. And that's what we're called to in Christ.
Now speak to the woman who says, and I've heard this so many times, I go to church, I long for this. I want to have that kind of rich, meaningful fellowship. I want to be known. I want to be connected to the lives of other people. But I go to church, I sit in my pew, and no one speaks to me. No one stops me. No one asks how I'm doing. No one seems to really care. And a lot of these people either drop out of the church or in their hearts they've dropped out.
You know, Nancy, Luke 6:12-13 is the story about Jesus praying before he chose his small group. And that's exactly what needs to happen. If we say, Lord, you give me intimacy. Bring into my life people who will love me and whom I can love. If we ask him for it, it's his delight to do that for us. He doesn't want us to be loners and lonely.
But many times I think, I've done this. You go to a church and you think, well, why isn't somebody speaking to me?
Right.
Rather than putting our hand out and saying to someone else who's thinking the same thing, good morning. Wonderful to see you this morning. What a wonderful service we had. Isn't the Lord good? You know, to strike up the conversation and somewhere. And there will be people who cannot connect.
Mm-hmm.
They're just so tied up in themselves, they can't connect. And we just have to go to them anyway. And if they can't connect and, you know, share your heart, you can't help it.
But we're really not waiting for others to come and connect
That's
to
right.
us.
You're exactly.
saying, and I understand, I'm a single woman. I know what it's like to go and sit in church by yourself, mm-hmm. To feel a little bit, I know nobody would think I'm shy, but you know, really I okay. am. And it's not easy for me to put out my hand and strike up a conversation with a total stranger or someone I don't know real well. And yet I found that some of the richest relationships that God has given to me in the body of Christ have been the result of my approaching a family or another single person or somebody else in the body of Christ and saying, how can I pray for you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, some of our greatest friendships, wouldn't you say, Anne, are single women or those who have
lost their husbands
in some way.
Yeah.
And that when we've invited them to our home and they've been part of our home, they are our richest friends.
That's
they are
so true.
Most precious friends. It's
and
wonderful.
Yet I have found, let me say it from the single side, that I can't wait for the Rays and Anns of the world to invite me to their home. Maybe in an ideal world it would happen that way, but I need to reach out to those families, to those others in the body of Christ, as I've learned to do over the years, and say, I'm not a loner. I'm not a lone ranger. I can't make it in the Christian life on my own. I need the people of God. So I'm not going to wait for the people of God to come to me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do what Anna said and pray and say, Lord, whose lives do you want me to connect to?
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, Ray, of when you were young, you earned money in a dairy. And you often saw the milk, it was all above, gushing down into these containers. Mm-hmm. Used to be bottles, now it's cartons. But there they are, printed up, waiting to be filled, but they're impotent in themselves to fill themselves or fill each other. The milk is from above. And when they're waiting and empty, then this milk can come down and very quickly, whoosh, they're sealed and they go off the belt and into people's homes and tummies. But it's from above. We have to realize that we don't have it in ourselves either to be best friends or to have a best friend. But when we ask the Lord, he's the one who does that, works in their lives, works in our lives. He creates every circumstance that will bring us together with other people. He creates every desire in their hearts to get to know me. He creates the technique that he wants me to use to get to know them. It's all of him, all of him.
And, you know, it calls for vulnerability, doesn't
yes.
it? You've got to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Like you say, you're being vulnerable as a single woman. You invite people to your home or you get to mm-hmm. know them. You step toward them.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be true with all of us. We step toward others. That's what love is about. It isn't a feeling. It isn't romance. It's appreciation. It's, well, John 13:34, Anne.
Yeah, I've got that in front of me here. Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you.
And wow, that's something else, isn't
it? And in this particular chapter, he gives us at least four ways that he loves us. He loves us with selfless love, with serving love, with unconditional love, with responsible love.
Yes.
And he says, as I have loved you, that's the way you're to love each other. And so as we go to the Lord and get our how-tos from him,
yes,
he will draw us close with others in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may have been thinking, you know, I've tried to connect to people in the body of Christ, and yet for me that's been a disappointing experience. There may have been people who've hurt you, who've let you down. You tried to be vulnerable and you got stepped on. Let me say, don't stop trying. Don't stop reaching out. Don't stop loving. Don't stop being vulnerable. I just want to tell you that I cannot make it in the Christian life without the people of God. We're part of a body. We're part of a family. We belong to each other. We need each other. I need the people that God has put into my life, and they need me. We need to pray for each other, love each other, hold each other accountable, spur one another on, help each other see our blind spots. We need each other. So if you're not connected to people in the body of Christ in that vibrant, living, ongoing, growing way, you need to seek it out. Ask the Lord, whose life do you want me to connect to? Who can I reach out to this next Sunday at church or in the week in between? Who can I call? Who can I connect with? And how do you want me to live out that commitment to your body? It is the body of Christ. He gave his life for it. And that needs to be our commitment as well if we want our lives to be revived and to be that miracle that Ray and Ann talk about in their book, Lord, Make My Life a Miracle.
We have limited copies of that book, so you'll want to act fast if you'd like to order a copy. Call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959, or visit reviveourhearts.com. As we start a new year, a lot of people are trying to read the Bible more consistently, just like we heard about on the program. This can be daunting if you're not in the habit, and we want to cheer you on all we can. Nancy's created some very helpful resources that will help you get into God's Word. You can take a look at reviveourhearts.com. But let me tell you about one of them. It's a workbook called A 30-Day Walk with God in the Psalms. Nancy chose several psalms that have been especially meaningful to her. She helps you read and understand these better. The study questions help you dig in and find out how these psalms intersect with your life. And you'll find out how to launch from the psalm into prayer. When you make a donation to Revive Our Hearts, we'll send you a 30-day walk with God in the Psalms. Ask for it when you donate by calling 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959, or visit reviveourhearts.com. We'll be back with our guests, Ray and Ann Ortland, on Monday. Find out what they discovered about praying together as a couple. Now, let's pray with Nancy.
Father, how I thank you for your body, the people of Christ, and for what those people have meant in my life over so many years. Thank you for Ray and Ann Ortland and how you've used them to touch my life in ways that they've probably never even realized. But I thank you for closer friends, those that are part of my life today, that challenge and exhort, encourage and pray for me. Lord, I want to be that kind of person to others. We want to be committed to each other within your family, within that body of Christ. So Lord, show us how to live out first our commitment to Jesus, then our commitment to one another, and then how to go out together and demonstrate to the world the love and the grace of Christ as we take that gospel out into a needy world. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.